the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. St. Simeon Stylites was the son of a shepherd. At 13, he read the Beatitudes, just as we have this morning. But for him, they inspired a zeal for Christianity, which led him to the monastic life. Unfortunately, the young Simeon was so extreme in his acts of austere living that the other monks asked him to leave. He went on to live in isolation in a hut, then in a narrow rocky outcrop, before finally heading up a number of increasingly high pillars where he stayed for the next 37 years. Simeon was undoubtedly a holy man and was turned to by the ordinary and the famous alike to give guidance and comfort. But did he really need the pillars? St. Callistus made it to being pope by the end of his life, but his earlier years did not promise such an end. As a young man, the son of a slave, he was given responsibility for looking after the alms given for Christian widows and orphans. Unfortunately, he lost the money, and rather than facing the music, he ran away. Captured and returned to his master, he was freed in the hope that he might be able to recover some of the money. He didn't. Instead, he got himself rearrested, having started a fight at the local synagogue where he was attempting to collect debts and borrow money from worshippers. St. Pelagia was a famous actress and prominent harlot in Antioch. She rode shamelessly through Antioch, perfumed and immodestly bareheaded. On hearing one of the bishop's sermons, however, Pelagius saw the light and was baptized. She then gave her possessions to the poor and ran off to the Mount of Olives, where she lived in a small cell until her death several years later. When a neighboring tribe assassinated her husband, Olga, Princess of Kiev, went to war. She massacred virtually the entire tribe. The few who did survive, she sold into slavery. Years later, while in Constantinople to make an alliance with the emperor, Olga visited a church and was in awe of the magnificence of the liturgy. She took instruction, was baptized, and returned to Kiev, zealous to convert her people. Hardly anyone would listen to her, however. Even her family rejected Christianity, and Olga died believing that, as a missionary, she was a failure. I could go on. I could go on to much better and more well-known saints. Francis of Assisi, rich, profligate, idle young man with a penchant for war and its spoils, who became a humble, Christ-centered, and gentle example of the faith. St. Augustine of Hippo, a womanizing heretic who became one of the church's greatest thinkers. Wherever any of these people set out from, whatever twists and turns their lives took, we recognize their holiness. We find signs of the movement of the Holy Spirit, of God in and through them. And what of us? Paul refers to the whole gathered community of Christians, the Ecclesia, as Hagioi, holy ones, saints. That's not just the special few, not even just the ones who started badly but finished well. It's all of us, in the here and now, as well as the past. All of us are expected to be holy, the saints of God. And that's perhaps where the not-so-perfect saints come in, isn't it? They seem more like us. We may not live our lives up pillars, but we don't live them in monasteries or hermitages either. And we face all the challenges and temptations brought by living in the wider community every day of our lives. God calls us to holiness, but the world in which we live has other ideas, and it wants to share them with us. Like Simeon, we'd like to find somewhere away from it all. Like Callistus, we sometimes want to run away from our mistakes. Like Pelagia, earthly desires can seem too strong to ignore. Like Olga, when we want revenge when something dreadful happens. And yet we know this is not God's way. It is not the path to sainthood. Today's gospel reading, Luke's version of the Beatitudes, often known as the Sermon on the Plain, sets out for us the heart of sainthood. It is love. Our love for God, which leads us to wish to do what will please him, what is right and just, kind and loving. And as a result of this, a genuine love for one another, a desire to find the best in others, to support, encourage, protect them, and allow them to flourish. And God's grace is there to help us in our own calling to be saints. This doesn't necessarily mean major miracles or feats of huge daring for the faith, for God is also a God of small things. He will not call us all to martyrdom, but he will call each and every one of us to stand up for our faith, to witness to Christ when asked at work or in the playground. He won't ask everyone to travel to far-off lands to preach the gospel, but he will ask each of us to provide a kind word and a helping hand to our neighbor. Sainthood is not about sinlessness, for only Christ is sinless. It is about the openness to the love and the will of God. None of the saints whose stories I've told this morning was a sinless paragon of virtue. They were human beings who experienced the love and grace of God and whose lives were transformed because of it. Ours can be too. We are already a part of the church where saints are gathered. It is our calling to show the love and grace we find here to the world by what we say and what we do. In doing so, we join with that cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, the holy and the sometimes not quite so holy, who have lived their lives as those who know the boundless love of God, and who in their frailty and brokenness have still desired to share it. So we shouldn't allow our imperfections to overwhelm us, but to do the best we can to live as our Heavenly Father desires. We need not let our sinfulness crush us. God knows we can succumb to temptations in the world, that sinlessness is beyond us. He asks instead that we are sorry when we act wrongly, and that we do our best to learn from our mistakes and not to repeat them. He knows our love for him and for one another is often weak and easily ebbs away. But he asks that we look at the world, his world, with compassion, searching for the good and treating one another as we would wish to be treated ourselves. If we do these things, if we keep trying, then we are living the lives so many saints have lived before us. Not in extraordinary, world-changing ways, but in the ordinary ups and downs of human existence. We take our place with all those who have lived and sinned and been forgiven, who have failed and fallen and got up again, who have hated and doubted, but then have found they can love again. This is the mystery of faith and the grace and love of God at work in us and between us. And it leads us, as it has led that vast cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, to our inheritance as the saints of God, to the riches of that inheritance. And